We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to another edition of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. To celebrate this occasion, I've brought along with me an article extolling the virtues of humour. It says, good quality humour is both delightful and nourishing and can be obtained from most supermarkets for no more than 80 pence for a small pot. I think that must be humus. Anyway, here to contribute, if not humus, then almost certainly some Tara Masalata. On my left, Barry Cryer and Paul Merton. On my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And to ensure that they all score today, please give her a warm hand. Samantha. Well, as the short article I've just read out aptly demonstrates, you can never be too sure what you read in the newspapers these days. To this end, teams, I'd like you to start off with a round called Celebrity Misquotes. In it, I'd like you to suggest for me some quotations which well-known people, alive or dead, would never have said. And I'd like you to start, please, Barry.
Alexander Graham Bell, it's engaged.
Willie.
I don't care, Claire Rayner.
I won't be 2 seconds, I'll just put my makeup on. Barbara Cartland.
Julian Clary, my mother-in-law.
Paul Gascoigne, I thought very carefully before I made the tackle, as my prime concern was to win the ball cleanly.
Winston Churchill, should Herr Hitler ever set foot on the shores of our beloved country, he will not see my baggy striped trousers for dust.
I was so drunk last night, I ended up going home with a couple of sailors, Mother Teresa.
I think that one was true, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
Saddam Hussein, I'm as sick as a parrot. The better team won on the day. I'm just sorry I let the lads down.
Oh, no, not another tax bill. The Queen.
For our older listeners, Peter Brough, bottle of beer. Geoffrey Archer, I want to be left alone.
Neil Kinnock, to cut a long story short.
Okay, is that all? Right. Now, we go on to a very entertaining game, which I came across while watching the recent television series That's Show Business with Mike Smith. In it, people sing along to a song they're given, and the song is then faded out, and the object is for them to be in time with the music when it's faded back again. Brilliant. I don't know where they get these ideas from.
Humph.
So the good idea...
The producer of that television show's Christian name is Nick.
Ah, that explains it all. To somebody, not to me. Tim, you're going to start this one. I'd like you to join Frank Sinatra singing Downtown.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown.
Oh, I missed it by a mile. Paul, it's
your... Frank, no sense of time at all.
Paul, would you please join Bob Dylan singing Subterranean Homesick Blues?
In a basement, mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement, thinking about the government. Man in a trench coat, badge out, laid off. Says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway, looking for a new friend. The man in the coon suit, Captain Bacon.
Excellent, excellent. Willie, I'd like you to sing Yes, Sir, That's My Baby alongside Eddie Cantor.
He's dead.
Gives you a huge advantage.
Well, at the same time, I'm still working with Barry Cryer, so I suppose it's better.
Who's that coming down the street? Who's that looking so petite?
Who's that coming down to meet me here? You know who I mean, sweetest whom you've ever seen. I could tell I'm miles away from here.
Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now. Yes, ma'am, we've decided. No, ma'am, we won't hide it. Yes, ma'am,
yes, you're
invited now.
I don't know whether you noticed, but Eddie Cantor came back in. There.
It's a miracle.
He's singing.
How did he do that?
He was actually singing a completely different song.
Radio. What a...
Barry, now, would you sing Grandad with Clive Dunn?
I've been sitting here all day thinking. Same old dream 10 years away. Thinking, now my days are gone. Memories linger on. Thoughts of when I was a boy. Penny farthings on the street, riding. Motor cars were funny things. Frightening. Rolling hoops and spinning tops. Penny dreadful lollipops. Comic cuts and all. The...
Someone was winning up to that point. Okay, Barry and Snooker, they usually apologise for a fluke. Now then, we're going to play sound charades. In this round, teams will attempt to give their opponents a charade of a book, play or film, using only the dexterity of their mouths. The opposing team will have to guess what it is. As usual, I'll be awarding points, and points mean prizes. What do points mean? This week's prize is a lavish, I was still thinking about our audience now. A lavish set of Learn to Speak a Language cassettes with Lloyd Grossman. This set's entitled Learn to Speak English. Now, the first charade, which Barry and Paul will have to guess, will now be displayed on the drive-in size laser scoreboard. And here's the mystery voice for the benefit of listeners at home.
The silence of the lambs. The silence of the lambs.
Tim and Willie, is it a book, a play, or a...
It's a book and a film. Uh-huh. And it's four words, possibly five. We're not absolutely certain about that, but we think it's four.
We're not sure whether it's got a definite article at the beginning or not.
But it doesn't really matter.
Don't look at me. Right.
Here is our mime, our charade.
Starting now.
Now. Shut up.
Is that it? That's it, right. OK, Paul and Barry, start guessing.
It's hard to tell when they've finished.
I'm glad we were told it was a film and a book, otherwise we never would have got it, would we?
Quiet flows
that's
the
quite
Don.
Right. It's a film and a book.
Was there a bar in there?
Bar's no. Rest. Barbara Streisand, is that...
the Sound of Silence. Oh, no, it's not for us. No, it's a song.
I think they're teasing us. Get on with it.
Oh, shucks, shall we?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Time's up. But tell us anyway.
The Sound of Music. the Silence of the Land.
Very good. And now a charade for Tim and Willie to guess. Here it goes on our scoreboard, and here again is the mystery voice for you at home.
The railway children. The railway children.
Is that a book, a play, or a film?
I think it's a film.
A book and a film.
A book and a film.
Three words. Now then, children. Living in this lovely cottage just by the railway line.
Yes. What is it you want to tell us, Mama?
Well, I know the bolt on that gate's broken, and that gate keeps swinging open, children, but I don't want you wandering down by the railway track.
Are you telling us children not to go down to the railway?
Exactly. I am telling you children nothing other.
Then as children, we shall say we will not go to the railway.
Good children for not going
yes.
down to the railway track.
But...
Okay.
Sound like the Archers. Containing good advice, I thought, to all those present, quite frankly.
Yes. Death Wish 2. Warm?
3 or 5.
Children of railways, I assume, don't come into this.
The clue's in there somewhere.
It's in there.
It's in there somewhere.
We did say it.
Yeah.
Well, all I heard was them wanting us to say railway children, so...
Obviously close. We must be warm.
The audience helped there.
Very good. Yes, that's all it was. That's only two words.
The railway children.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Ah, this is nice. This next round's a firm favourite of Samantha's and of mine too. In it, I shall ask you teams to come up with some limericks. I shall provide the first lines, and I'd like you to continue taking one line each. And we're going to start with you, Paul. Your line is, an old Greek called Oedipus Rex...
decided that he would change sex.
He was charged 20 drachmas.
For removing his nachmas.
Thank God they take traveller's checks.
OK, Tim, you can have the next run. It starts, by Jove, said the young man from Sparta.
By Jove, said the young man from Sparta, with a mouthful of tarama salata.
I've been charged 20 drachmas.
For a large plate of nachmas.
So much for the citizens' charter.
Barry, we're going to go to you now. Your first line is, at a party with Pallas Athene.
At a party with Pallas Athene, I bumped into Federico Fellini.
He showed me his 8.5.
And said, if it don't make you laugh...
just wait till you see Mussolini.
And finally, one from you, Willie. Your first line is, a remarkable habit of Zeus's...
A remarkable habit of Zeus's was to bathe in tropical juices.
He committed a felony
with an overripe melon. He...
subjected to disgusting abuses. Well, it's a conclusion.
Okay, now, this next game needs a bit of explanation. Before I do it, I've got something to tell you now. Because if you host a high-profile light entertainment programme such as this, it does sometimes mean that people will get you muddled with the hosts of other high-profile light entertainment programmes. To illustrate this fact, here's a letter I received the other day. It reads, Dear Mr. Beadle, I do enjoy your excellent TV programmes, and I particularly admire the warm-hearted and sensitive way in which you deal with your guests. Your series, You've Been Framed, in which viewers send in videos of their loved ones in humiliating situations, is a real favourite. Kind regards, the Marquis de Sade. Well, something you may not know about You've Been Framed is that the programme has sent many home videos featuring well-known personalities. For obvious reasons, these can't be shown on the television. They can, however, be shown on the radio. So, teams, I'll now play you a selection of these videos, and I would like you to identify them for the benefit of listeners at home. Paul, here's one for you.
Self-explanatory, surely. That's Pavarotti singing in the bath just before it collapses underneath him, I think, isn't it? Falling through three floors.
Sounded like Pavarotti having an orgasm.
With an ironmonger.
Well, let's just look at it, then. Good heavens, he was right the second time.
Tim, we've got one for you here.
Well, I assume from it's the music, it's a christening, and the baby's bitten the priest. It's the christening of Hannibal Lecter. Or it could be the christening of Jeremy Beadle, when that scream was him being dropped on his head, which would explain a lot of things.
Barry, there's one for you now.
No.
Oh, this was priceless. This was priceless. The Duchess of York was put on the wrong plane as a jape. Stepped onto the steps and realised she was in England.
And the last one for you, Willie.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Don't cry for me.
Well, clearly, it's the home life of Andrew Lloyd Webber. And believing his own publicity, he sets off at the beginning on a walk across his swimming pool. And halfway across, he loses concentration when he suddenly thinks perhaps 10 million was too much for a cannelloni. And as he drowns, his whole life flashes before him.
I think that was other people's lives flashing before.
It's now time to play the game called Mornington Crescent. Now, to avoid confusion, teams, I shall invoke the Stavoldian principle of the compulsory offline opening. And to help people who are unfamiliar with the rules to follow, we shall return to the basic tenet that blindside play is non-applicable when the preceding move is even.
Is even, did you say?
Is even, yes.
Is even, right.
Can you do that with an offline start?
Yeah, yes. That's the point.
We wouldn't be doing it if you couldn't do it.
Well, we slipped up before.
Paul, will you start, please?
One false move at this stage of... Balham High Road.
Mornington Crescent.
Oh.
No! I'm sorry. The one preceding move wasn't even, because there wasn't a preceding move.
I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry.
How can the first move have a preceding move? Please concentrate.
That was the second move.
Tim, will you carry on,
please?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. So, blind move. Side, second move. Greeks.
Silly old fool, it was the second move. First,
yeah,
because the preceding move. It was the second move.
Well,
we're stuck with Balham High Road at the moment for our sins.
Not for the first time.
Greek Street.
Cleveland Street. Bayswater Road. Attack!
Irving Street.
Said he'd never played before.
That's very clever.
Yes, yes. Beginner's luck. But...
Hendon Way.
Oh. Orange Street. Orange Street. What town are you in? Haymarket. Oh, Haymarket. Not a million miles from here. Orange Street.
Where
Elf
are we?
Alley. What?
I suppose you can if it's blindside, yeah.
Charing Cross Road.
Great Cumberland Street.
Birdcage Walk. Victoria Street.
Mornington Crescent.
Yes!
I've just seen this bit that I read out at the beginning about the Stavoldian principle of the compulsory offline opening. Paul, your opening, I'm afraid, wasn't offline, and therefore that game's cancelled out. Our next round is a singing round with all the native charm of the Orient. It's basically a combination of two unique aspects of Japanese culture: singing out of tune in public and ritual suicide. It's called Harakirioki. I'm going to ask teams to sing a duet together while accompanied by Colin Sell on the piano. However, while singing this song, they'll be wearing headphones in which music or speech will be played as a distraction. The aim of the game is to stay in tune as much as possible. Continue over. Oh, no, it's not over. Paul and Barry, I'd like you to start by singing What Kind of Fool Am I? And this is what you'll be listening to in your headphones. Okay, now, are you ready? Are you going to give them an introduction, Colin? Because
yes,
you've been sitting there doing nothing all through the program so far.
What kind of fool am I who never fell in love? It seems that I'm the only one that I've been thinking of. What kind of man is this? An empty shell. A lonely cell in which an empty heart must dwell. What kind of lips are these? Life is every kiss that whispered empty words of love and left me alone like this. Why can't I fall in love like any other man and make me dead?
That was excellent. Bang in tune all the way through. Colin didn't put you off then. Now, Tim and Willie, I'd like you to sing Titwillow, and this is what you'll be listening to in your headphones.
Governments have three fundamental...
think they call that heavy wood.
Right, Colin.
Sorry? I had my earphones on. Oh.
On a tree by a river, a little tomtit sang willow, tit willow. And I said to him, Dicky Bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit willow, tit willow?
And as we pursue them, up a high, great
brisk, or a rather tough worm, the little inside.
He
slapped at his chest as he sat on that bough.
Oh, bough,
singing willow, tit willow, and a cold perspiration, respect
for the long-term growth of the nation.
Oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow.
I want no completion. I do want to see more
privatising.
I'll get a job tomorrow. I will.
And the new suicide British rail and British coal. There is no reason why they should not be in the private sector, and into it they will go.
What a tip, Willow.
Well. Tim and Willie would have won that one if they hadn't unaccountably fallen asleep. It's almost it for this week, but before we go, I think we'll just find time for a bracing round of Fisherman's Film Club. Teams, I'd like you to suggest some films of suitable viewing for an audience of fishermen. And Barry, you can start.
Piranha de Bergerac.
The Carp Baggers.
Hook.
The happiest days of your life.
A license to Brill.
And Cod created woman.
Kramer versus Fishcake. Good movie.
The Clam Busters.
The Greatest Skate.
Oh, Kiss Me Skate.
Or Bring Me the Haddock of Alfredo Garcia.
Catch 22.
Last Turbot in Paris.
A Midsummer Night's Bream.
Stage Roach.
A Star is Spawn.
Prawn Free.
Henry the Fourth, Parts One and Tuna.
Some Pike It Hot.
Dial M for Mermaid.
Steve McQueen in Mullet.
Well, there comes a time when I have to wind things up, so join us again next week when we shall be in Brighton. Until then, from all of us, goodbye.
Tim Brooke Taylor, Barry Cryer, Paul Merton and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.